sure if I needed this or not. We had some training for children's ministry training this past weekend. And one of the things they said was that you need to not move around so much on the stage. You need to stay in one place because you're a distraction when you move. I don't know if I can change my old habits or not. So I'll try to remember some of the things that I've been taught. This morning, are you comfortable this morning? See your hands? You comfortable? Some of you are. Some of you are not sure. Are your chairs comfortable? Okay. I suppose that sometime back, a number of years ago, when these chairs were picked out, somebody took the time to sit on them and try different ones and decide, well, these are comfortable. This is what we're going to buy. We're people that like comfort, right? Because you know, our mattresses at home, you know, you want one that's comfortable, right? We have thermostats on the wall so that we can be comfortable. We like to be around people who make us comfortable. You know, we don't like to be uncomfortable. So we're people that like comfort. Now, where does your comfort come from? Have you ever been comforted? Let me see your hands. Have you ever been comforted? Okay, where'd your comfort come from? Anybody? From other people. Okay, comes from other people. Ultimately, it comes from God, but we haven't seen God, so it comes from other people. You're right, Mark. So God uses people to bring us comfort. Now, that's not necessarily the title of my message this morning. If I put a title, it's going to be The Value of Scars. And so we want to go to our scripture this morning. And if you have your Bible or your phones or whatever you're using, turn to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And this starts out fairly routine for one of Paul's letters. And he starts out, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, first verse, to the church of God at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Asia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty normal salutation from Paul's letters, grace and peace to the churches that he's writing to. But there's something a little bit different in this particular salutation. Verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I want to stop right there. God is the Father of mercies. He's the one that is merciful to us, gives us mercy, and brings us mercy. I could not be here this morning if it wasn't for the mercies of God. I myself am not fit to stand up here and share the Word of God. You probably would not be here this morning if it was not for the mercies of God, because we are not fit to stand before God if it wasn't for His mercy and His grace. So it's God. We all understand very clearly, and we know that God is a merciful God, and so we accept that, we receive that. So He's a God of mercies, and then He says, and He's also the God of all comfort. That's why I opened up talking about comfort, because comfort comes from God. The Greek word here, it's used in various, it's also used as an exaltation, exhorting, and different words are used, but the Greek word really means to come alongside of, to be there for somebody, to come alongside of. And so He's the God of mercy, and He's a God of comfort. He's a God of all comfort. Now, let's continue to read. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in God's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. What Paul is writing here is that God is the author of comfort. He's the one that brings comfort into our life. But he also says that there's times that God allows us to go through things, to experience things, so that we can relate to people who are now going through those things. There's a beautiful illustration in the scriptures where Mary, when the angel came to her and said, "You are going to be with child." And Mary, of course, had never been with a man. And now she was going to be pregnant and have a child. And I don't understand women real well, even yet at my age. But I know that that would have been a trauma for her immediately. What are people going to think? Here I am, pregnant. What are people, the talk of the town? What's going to happen? Well, the angel also said, now your cousin Elizabeth, she's also with child in her old age. And so now, and she was 5 months pregnant. And so Mary, I'm imagining here a bit, but I'm imagining now Mary is saying, I'm going to go to Elizabeth. She can comfort me. She can be there for me because she's experienced this. She's been 5 months along. What are people saying? How is she handling this? Because she's an old lady. What are the people of the village talking about her? And so the Bible says she hastened and went to Elizabeth and spent several months there. And I believe Elizabeth was there comforting her because of what Elizabeth was experiencing. Just another story, illustration. Barnabas, his name means a comforter. If you read some of the, sometimes look at how Barnabas was such an encourager. He's the one that brought Paul to the disciples because the disciples were kind of hesitant, but Barnabas means a man of encouragement, a man of consolation, a man that was there in his life carried that out. So, where are we going this morning? There are some people that have more of a gift of bringing comfort and being there. I understand that. But the scriptures will teach us that one of our responsibilities as children of God is to be there to comfort other people. And at times, God is going to allow us to go through things so that we can experience and know how to bring comfort to other people. And that's why I entitled it this morning, The Value of Scars. Now, Jesus, I believe that when we get to heaven, and by the way, did you really mean that song this morning that you sang, that you're looking forward just any day the Lord is coming and you're excited? I hope you are, but sometimes we sing those songs and don't think about that He may come before we have lunch. But, okay, so when we get to glory, I believe that one of the things that we are going to see when we see Jesus is the scars that are still in His hands. There's a song that says, the only thing in heaven that's made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. Why are those scars there? You see, Jesus, in His resurrected body, He still had scars. Now, God could have completely made Him whole, taken that away. Because when the disciples saw Him, He had a resurrected body. It was a different body. But He still had those scars. And I believe that God left them there for a purpose, to remind. He used them. Jesus used them when He was still on this earth. He said, look, see my hands? Look at the scars. See my side? There's the scars. This is what took place. So there was a reason, there was a purpose that God allowed Jesus to carry scars in His body after He was resurrected, and I believe even today in heaven. So maybe there's a reason that we have scars in our life. And I believe that probably most of you here, if you're a teenager or older, or maybe even younger, you have some scars on your body from an injury that you had. And if you don't have scars on your body, you may have some psychological scars that took place in your life somewhere way back there. Now, a scar, I have a scar right here under my chin. and it's healed. It doesn't hurt. But when I feel that little scar when I'm shaving, my mind goes back to something that happened back when I was a teenager. We had a beach buggy painted yellow, 59 Chevrolet station wagon. We had big tires on it, run up and down the beach. Had a little sign on it that said, "The Beachy Boys." But we love, but, and so riding on the back of that one day, I hit a bump and I was standing on the tailgate of the thing. The old station wagons had a tailgate you could lay down, standing on there, and it hit my chin. Now that doesn't hurt, but it reminds me. I never forget what took place because there it was a scar. So we, as we go through life, God allows sometimes certain things to happen to us. He has a purpose. He has a reason for them. Now, a scar is completely different than a wound. There are people today, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a counselor, but there are people that are walking around all of their life with wounds that they've never allowed them to heal. And a person that has a wound in their body or in their life, you know, if you touch it, they scream. Some people have become addicted to their wounds. It's their identity. It's who they are. And they built their life around it, and they want to carry that. They never allow it to heal. But there are things that come into our life. And so when you have a wound and you allow it to heal, it becomes a scar and there's no pain there. But the memory's there. The memories are still there that God has allowed us to retain them. And so I suppose that most of us, you know, we have some scars or some wounds in our bodies somewhere at some time. Now if we go over to the fourth chapter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. I love this. I guess if I had a favorite portion of Scripture, this would be my favorite Scripture. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read certain portions of it. Verse 1 in chapter 4 starts out, "Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." Now Paul is talking about a ministry that we have. He just, as we talked about, and he starts out here talking about the comfort that we need to be to other people. And he says that God allows us to go through things so we know how to comfort other people. If you follow on in the first chapter there, he talks about a time when in Asia, when he was nigh unto death. And I'm not sure, just different writers have different ideas, but probably he's referring to in Ephesus there. When he was in Ephesus, there was a crowd that mobbed around him. The people had to get him and get him out of there because they were about to kill him. Or it could have been another place. Paul refers to the time that the wild animals, it could have been the lions that were almost to overtake him. He refers to something, but Paul refers to some times when he was almost nigh to death. And he writes that in the relationship to now he understands how other people go through difficult times. So now, as he goes on in his letter here, he says, we have this ministry. And this morning, we're talking about a ministry of comfort that God wants to use me and you to minister to other people from the experiences that we've been through. Now remember, if I'm going to give a title, it's the value of scars that we have, that God puts there, that they are valuable. Now, our world today doesn't like scars. There was a, I'm not really up on this, but there was a country singer that, within the past year or so, I think she fell and cut her face, and then she didn't do any public appearances, Carrie Underwood or somebody, I'm not sure, for 6 months or so. People were just wondering, you know, is she going to have a scar on her face? She hid herself, didn't show any public till the scars were gone, you see, because she did not want any scars. Mama, mother, when you take your children, you know, your children falls and it gets a cut, you know, and you run the emergency room, one of the first things is, oh, is it going to leave a scar? You ask the doctor, is it going to leave a scar? We really don't want scars, do we? But scars can be beautiful, and that's what we're looking at here this morning. Okay, so Paul is saying we have this ministry by the mercy of God. Again, we have a ministry, and it's the mercies of God that has shared this with us. And we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Now let's drop down to verse 5. For what we proclaim in is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, for God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has chosen to let the light of the glorious gospel to shine in our hearts, in our lives, to shine out to a world. Now notice, but if we have this treasure, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surprising power belongs to God and not to us. We have a treasure. God chose to shine His light, His glory, through our bodies, through our lives. And He said it's like an earthen vessel. It's of none of ourselves. So what I picture here is that when you go through a very difficult time in life, and there's something about you that the world sees, and they say, how are they able to go through that? What we know is the grace and mercies of God. It's His comfort that we're experiencing. And that shines out of this earthly vessel, this body that has no value in itself. But it's God's mercy and grace coming through me, testifying of God's goodness to the world. It's an earthen vessel. It's just a body. It's just me, like I told you in the beginning. But if it wasn't for His mercy, I could not be here this morning sharing God's word. But it's His mercy and His grace to us, His kindness. And so God chose to allow people to shine forth with His glory. And at times God allows things to come into our life that may be difficult, may be hard to understand, to comprehend. But if we wait upon God, allow Him to work through us, we see that God has a purpose and a plan for that. And it may be difficult at the time. So we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surprising power belongs to God and not to us. And then he closes this, or this concluding verse in this chapter, verse 16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer soul is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So God has a purpose and a plan. So we want to look beyond what's just happening right now in our life and realize that God has a much bigger picture. He has a much greater plan. And then one other scripture that I want to look at yet is in 1 Peter chapter 1. And that one's going to be found in verse 7. We're going to begin reading verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 7. I have a new Bible up here, so it's just a little bit harder for me to focus my eyes on it. Beginning to read in verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I just read the one scripture there, but if you read that whole chapter, that first part of it, Peter talks about things that we go through in life that are like being tested with fire. But there will come a time, if the Lord tarries, and if you allow the grace and the mercies of God to be in your life, that you will look back on that experience and say, I would not take any amount of gold for that experience. That's what I understand that verse to be saying. At the time you go through it, it may be so difficult. It's like, he said, it's like being tested with fire. But if you allow God to have His way in your life, and you submit to Him and say, God, what do you want me to learn from this test, this trial that I'm going through? I believe, and I believe I can share testimony this morning, that you will look back, and there will be a time that you will be able to say, as difficult as that was, I wouldn't take any amount of gold for the experience that I went through because of where I am today, where I could have maybe have been had it not been for that experience. I think that's what Peter is writing here in this scripture. So and I don't know your hearts, I don't know your lives this morning, I don't know what all goes on in your lives, but if you're going through a test, if you're going through a difficult trial right now, remember, it may be a wound, but if you allow it to heal, it'll be a scar, and God can use that for His honor and His glory. Let's look on it. Let's look a bit more about wounds. There are also, when we talk about scars, we think about physical scars, ones that you can see, cuts and things like that. And then there's also psychological scars that come into our life that need to be dealt with. And like I said, I'm not a counselor and I'm not high on the list of counseling, but I understand, I realize that there's times and there's places for them to help people understand what's going on in their life. But some people carry scars, or they carry wounds. They're not scars. They carry wounds that have been there from their childhood. Maybe it's someone that has a dad that said, you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. And they live their life that way. Out of that, out of what they were told. It was a wound. It was hurt. It was hurtful for them. And so they live their life proving to the world that they're no good. They're not of value. Simply because that's what dad said. And that's a hurt. That's a wound. It's a psychological wound that's there. But you don't need to carry that all your life. God has a plan. That's a lie. That was, maybe it came from your father. But that was a lie. Because God, we need to turn to God. God said, you are valuable. You are good. I made you. I created you. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. You see, Satan wants to bring lies into our life and have us to believe them that maybe we are no good because that's what Dad said. But in reality, we are. So there are people that live out their life with that comprehension that I'm no good because Dad said I'm no good. And that's a lie from Satan that keeps putting it there, and it's a scar. But that needs to be healed. You need to get healing from that and say, I am good. I am valuable because God created me. And then you are able to relate to some other young person that maybe has a father that's not in his life, that's not there for him and not supporting him. See, now you have something that God has allowed you to go through to help someone else. Kevin, I know you're not a football fan. That's okay. All right? But I'm going to use an illustration if it's all right this morning. Maybe you're tired of football. Sweeney, Coach Sweeney, who just won a championship. Okay, you can't hide that whether you're a fan or not. It's all over everywhere. But he has a unique way of working with his team. And the other teams are starting to see that. What's different about him? That he's just one with the guys. And they love him and they care for him. I can tell you what's different about him. He's not a Bowden. He wasn't born rich. He came to Lighthouse a number of years ago and he spoke to those boys. And he identified with them. The boys we were working with were the same, came out of the same kind of lifestyle that he came out of. He told stories how he had to get up on the roof at night and hide behind the chimney because his dad came home drunk wanting to beat him up. And then when his dad finally fell asleep, he'd go to sleep at his neighbor's house because he was afraid of his dad. He went through things as a child, but he didn't let that define him. He uses that as a stepping stone so now he can relate, because many of the boys that come to his team and want to play came out of those kind of homes. And he can relate to them. Now, he could have lived out of that. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm a no good. I'm a nobody. But he rose above that. Just an illustration that came to my mind as I thought about, you know, scars, things that happened in your life. There's another young man. Was a young man. He's not a young man anymore. But he was a young man. He wasn't all that good in school playing ball. Never chosen number one or two or three. Chosen somewhere in the middle. At least he wasn't the little boy that couldn't play at all and got put in to be catcher. You know how that always worked. You know, he'd put him there because you know where else to put him. So this young man grew up not very good at sports. And so it bothered him for a while. Eventually, you know, he got over that and went on with life. But today, when this older fella now goes and watches some of these little league baseball teams and stuff, and he sees a little boy out in the field, he may even be on an opposing team, but he sees that little boy drop the ball, the fly ball, you know, that would have won the game, his heart goes out to him because he was that little boy one time. He understands what that little boy is going through. So God allows things to come in our life. Now, we can carry those things all our life if we want to and let them define us, or we can use them as stepping stones and make us the kind of people that God can use to help someone else. That's what Paul was writing about. God allows us to go through things so that we can come along the other side of other people that are going through things such as this. There may be a mother, you know, who carried 9 months of pregnancy and then lost her child. A very difficult thing to go through. Why, God? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me and other people? They're carrying a little baby now. Allow God to work in your life, to believe that He had a purpose, He has a reason, He has a plan. And now you are able to go when some other mother loses her child, and you can identify with her in a way that nobody else can, because she understands, she knows that you went through that too. You connect. That's what Paul was writing about. So that you may be able to comfort others with the same comfort that you experience from God. So now the wounds become valuable. They become important. They're a blessing. They're a gift. The scars, I mean, not the wounds. They become something that is good. We suddenly realize that we would be handicapped with them. Did you ever go to someone that lost their companion? You husbands walk up to somebody that lost their companion, their wife. You know, you really don't know how to relate to them because you still have your wife. But let somebody else come along that lost their wife, or it could be a husband, vice versa. Now they can go up to them and say, brother or sister, I'm here for you. And there's a connection immediately that they know that you understand what they're going through because you've been there. It's difficult. It's hard. But Paul says that God allows us to go through things like this so that we are able now to help other people, that we can bring comfort. Comfort ultimately comes from God. But now we can bring comfort to those that go through there. There's lots of illustrations we could use. Even a young girl that's been abused, or a son that's been abused. You know, they're just on and on. Things that can really be deep psychological scars, wounds. But if we allow God to take them and make a scar instead of a wound, let it heal. find healing through God's mercy and through His grace, then we can look at it and say, God, I don't want to go through it again. It was like Peter wrote, it was like fire. But I'll never take any amount of gold and silver for what I learned through this, because now I'm able to be used by you to bring comfort to somebody else that has been through such a thing. There may be other things in your life here this morning that you think about that this could have happened to. But then when that happens, I talked about lies a little bit. Then Satan comes along and he says, you know, God wasn't powerful enough to keep that away from you. You know, well, who's God? He allowed that to happen to you. He's not powerful enough. He could have kept that from happening, but he didn't. Or God can say, yeah, I mean, Satan can say, yeah, you know, God's punishing you. God doesn't punish people. God does not punish people. God allows things, us to go through things, his children I'm talking about. God will, and he doesn't even punish other people. They make choices is why they end up in those things. Another lie is that God is powerful, but he doesn't care about me. God somehow overlooked me, you know, and we live out of that. But the truth is that God is powerful, and he allowed it to happen because he has some purpose behind it. And we don't have to understand the purpose right now. If we can just rely and trust God that there is a purpose, there is a reason for it. I don't understand it. And you can be okay with that. And God's okay with that. You can say, God, I don't understand it. I don't know why this happened to me. But I want to trust you. Because he's our Father. And he wants to do that. He wants us to trust him. Another example in the scripture we could look at was, you know, we can spend a bit of time on that if we wanted to, in the life of Joseph. Imagine what the rejection that he felt from his brothers, being sold, and the lies that were told about him, and all of these things. And he could have lived out of that, but he didn't. He chose to live that noble life in Egypt, and realizing that he was honorable, that God did have a purpose, God did have a plan for him, and he lived out of that. And you know the results. He saved his whole family through that. In closing, I want to give you scars. I want to just play on words. S-C-A-R-S. Stop moaning and groaning and complaining and talking about your wound. Do you ever think about it? Are you excited when, you know, you broke your leg maybe, and you come to church with a cast or whatever it might be, and before you can even tell somebody what happened, you know, they're telling you about their experience, all the things that they went through, and they just go on and on and on and on. They're living out of that. They haven't got over that. Rather than being there for you and say, hey, you know, in a few years or a few months, you won't even think about it. They're there to comfort you. But there are people who live out of their past. They live out of their wound. It's a wound. And it's whenever they have a chance to talk about it, they talk about it. So stop moaning and talking and groaning about your wound. Confess hurts and sins. Confess that, God, this was a hurt. And I allowed it to become sin in my life because I dwelt upon it. The second one is A, ask God for help. He's there. He wants to help us. R, receive God's healing. Say, God, I want to receive your healing. I want to live above this. I want to live beyond this wound. I want it to become healed. And then the last one is S, share your story. God put it there for a purpose. We have stories. We have them. Don't be ashamed of them. Share them, because that's the way we bring comfort to other people. Every scar I have makes me who I am. Your scars are proof that God heals. Scars don't tell who you are, but they tell you where you've been. So, the value of scars. If you're here this morning and you're asking questions, why did God allow this to happen to me? If you haven't found healing, find healing. Let it heal. And realize that now it's a scar. It's valuable. It's beautiful. I can go and share. I can relate to people that are like-minded, that have gone through things like they've never been through this before. And it's brought up here again this morning. You as a congregation have an opportunity to come alongside. You've been praying about how to do that. Come alongside someone now that's going through a difficult time. Some of you here, God has prepared you for that. So you'll know how to come alongside and share with Him and be there for Him. The value of scars. Shall we stand for a closing prayer? Then I'll turn it back over to Jerry. Father God, I thank You again this morning just to be able to say Father. And as Paul wrote in the letter, God, that You are God, You are the Father of mercies, You are the Father of all comfort. And God, there's been so many times that I myself, and I believe that every person here, God, has experienced Your comfort. And the majority of time it comes through people that You send our way to be there for us, to minister to us. We believe and we know, God, it's You speaking through them and using them. And I thank You for those people this morning, God, that have ministered to me in that way. And now, God, I recognize that my responsibility and our responsibility here, the church at Shiloh, God, is to reach out and to be ministers of comfort to others who are going through difficult times. Thank You, God, for the great example, Lord Jesus Christ, of what He did for us. It said, God, He came down on this earth, and He was like-minded. He knew, God. He related to every situation that we go through so that He could be there for us and identify with us. Thank You, God, for the scars that are in the hands of Jesus. God, we believe that they're there to remind us. We know that they're there to remind us, God, of Your love that You've had for us, and that He paid the price on the cross for my sin, for our sin. So, God, that we can have a relationship with You this morning and that we can truly call You our Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray and say thank You. Amen.